Gemara Shabbat. Daf Kuf Nun He. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asa family in memory of Chacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. Today's daf is being studied by Adun Ishmat Avraham ben Esther. We are going to begin on Kuf Nun Dalet Amud Bet on the bottom line, beginning with the Eti Bet. Let us just review the opinion of Rava that we learned on yesterday's daf. We were actually discussing an issue of a tree using it on Shabbat. Of course, it's asur to use a tree in any capacity, climbing the tree, using it to hang one's clothes on it, etc., on Shabbat. Why? Because the Hachamim made a gezerah that you might come to pick a fruit or pick a branch. The same law applies to an animal. Now, the discussion we had on yesterday's daf was, what about the side of the tree? Which means we all agree that the top of the tree, that's the tree itself, that's the ayat. But what about the sad? So there we had different opinions. And Rava's opinion was, which is right on the bottom, Rava said that the tzadim, and I will quote, inside, Rava Amar, Man de asar bistadin, the opinion that says that the tzad of the tree is asur, asar name bitsidet tzadin, also was osir the side of the side of the tree, which means the opinion of the osrim is osir all types of tzadin. What is sidet tzadin? So we have an example. Let's say you have a board that's leaning against a tree, and you have the schach, let's say, on top of the board. So that would be tzidet tzadim. Okay? So the one that says tzad, the tree itself, the side is asur, tzidet tzadim is also asur. Uman deshare b'tzidet tzadim. And the opinion that says that tzidet tzadim is mutar, share nami b'tzadim. We'll say also that the tzad of the tree is also mutar. And that's why Rava himself, with his child on the Shabbat, was leaning him against the side of the animal and playing with him, because he held tzadim by the animal also would be mutar. Rav Mesharshia le Rava. Rav Mesharshia asked a question to Rava. Na'atz yated be'ilan. Let's say somebody thrusted a peg into a tree. Ve'tala ba'kalkala. And he hung a basket of food in it. Now why would he do that? Because he wants to establish his eruv. Halakha says that if a person wants to walk outside on Shabbat, let's say he has 2,000 amot, right? Outside of his residency. What is considered his residency? So it starts from where he sets up his food from before Shabbat. So the guy before Shabbat technically can go to a, you know, far place, let's say, and he can go to the, in this case he went to a tree, and he took a basket of food, and he put a stake into the tree, and he hung his food on the stake, and that becomes the place where his eruv begins. So it says, "Lemala me'asarat tefachim in erubo eruv." If he places it higher than 10 tefachim on the tree, the eruv is not an eruv. Why? Because this kalkala has a din of reshut harabim. I'm sorry, reshut hayahid, because it's above 10 tefachim high. And Rashi tells us that the kalkala is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, so therefore it has the status of a reshut yachid. So that comes out to be a legitimate eruv. It has to be accessible to you on Shabbat. It has to be in the same domain that you're in. He's in the reshut rabim, so his eruv has to be with him in the reshut rabim. If he's going to put it high on the tree above 10 tefachim, it's hu b'makom echad ne'erubo b'makom acher. So that does not work. However, the Gemara continues, in eruv or eruv. Eruv would not be an eruv. Lemata ma'asarat tefachim. However, if the basket is below 10 tefachim, so it's considered in the reshut harabim, so eruv or eruv. So the eruv is a eruv because it's in the same domain, it's accessible to him on Shabbat, and therefore he can establish his, you know, his walking from that spot. So now the Gemara analyzes. Ta'ama dina'at yated be'ilan. The whole reason why this deen is so is because you took the peg and you thrusted it into the tree. And therefore, when you're taking the food out of it, it's considered sidet tzadim, because you have the side of the tree, and you have the peg that's in the tree, so that's already once removed. You're not taking from the side of the tree itself. The food is hanging on a peg that's on the tree. That's considered sidet tzedim. So the only reason why we're telling you that if it's lower than 10 tefachim, your eruv will be an eruv, because on Shabbat it's not considered using the tree. Why? Because it's considered sidet tzedim. Ah, halonatz. But let's say he didn't thrust this peg into the tree. Let's say he just put like a little basket against the tree itself. You know, he tied it against the tree itself. Afilu lemata ma'asarat tefachim en erubo eruv. So it's going to be mashma that what? Even less than 10 tefachim, the eruv is not going to be eruv. Why? Because now that basket is on the tzad of the tree, and therefore you're being mishtamesh bitside ilan, which is asur. So it comes out that you see, you can hold side tzadim mutar, but the tzad itself would be asur. Tzadim itself is asur. That's against Rava. Rava just taught us above that what? That if you hold sidit tzadim mutar, then you hold tzadim mutar as well. Here we're seeing that like that. We're saying that the whole reason why it was mutar in this case, why, is because you put it in a peg and you hung the basket on the peg. So therefore you're benefiting from the food that's sidit tzadim. Okay? Implying that if there wasn't a peg, if you just put it against the tree itself, it would be asur. Why? Because that would be tzadim. So the Gemara says, "Veha haitana deka asar bitzadim." This opinion we see is oser tzadim vekashari bitzides tzadim, but he's matir tzides tzadim. So that goes against Rava. So Amar Papa, the Papa comes along and answers, "Hacha bekalkala dehuka askinan." Says the case where you can make the inference from is not not the case that we thought, but it's talking about where, let's say, you had a kalkala dehuka. That's a basket where you put your food in. That's a very narrow mouth, and therefore you have to stick your hand in that. When you stick your hand in this narrow mouth basket, what happens? It's going to shake the whole tree, and therefore, if you have a yatid and you have this narrow mouth basket, so it's considered sidit tzadim, it's going to be mutar. However, when it's up against the tree itself, since it's narrow, when you stick your hand to get the food, what's going to happen? The entire tree is going to shake. That's not considered tzadim. That's considered the tree. And therefore, you cannot make your implication that tzadim is asur. Really, tzadim would be mutar as well. Ah, but if you don't have a peg, then why is it asur? Because we're talking about a special narrow type of kalkala that would cause the whole tree to move. When the whole tree moves, that's considered you're benefiting from the tree itself. Rashi, hacha bekalkala dehuka, shepi hatzar. Right, its mouth is narrow bekitzara and small. He umachnis yado letocha bedohak, and it's. He can put his hand in there, but bedohak, it's tight. Hilkach imamashava katar lebitside ilan. If you tied this basket to the tree itself, kishakil le'erube, when you're going to take out your eruv, manid le'ilan. You're going to move the tree. Hilkach ki ika yated hu deshari. That's why only if you have a yated, because it seems it's not going to move the tree. When you have the yated there and the basket hanging down, it might move the yated, but it's not going to move the actual tree itself. Therefore, it's considered tzidet tzadim mutar. But when it's up against the tree itself, it's considered being nehneh from the tree itself. So the Rava is okay. So the Gemara says, "Debahadeh deshakil le'eruv," because at the time that you take the eruv, kamanid le'ilan, you're going to move the tree, v'kameshamesh be'ilan gufeh, and you're going to use the tree itself. Milcheta, now the Gemara summarizes the halakha, tzadin asurin, using the side of the tree itself, asur. Tzidet tzadin mutarin. The Gemara makes the compromise. Amar avashe, hashtad amar, now that you taught us, tzadin asurin, once you tell us you cannot benefit from the side of the tree on Shabbat, hay darga, if you have a certain ladder, okay, they use it in order to climb up the trees, like to get to the watchtower. So it says, hay darga demidla, that is elevated, lo linhe inish adikla, do not rest the ladder up against the tree. Because now when it's up against the tree, so the ladder has a din of stadin, because it's on the side of the tree, so you're being near from the, or you're using the side of the tree. Ela linhaye agavaze lebar medikla. Support the ladder by putting a peg, let's say, coming out of the tree, and put the ladder against the peg. So now already it would be sidet stadim. It's resting on the peg, and the peg subsequently is resting on the tree. Ela linhaye agavaze lebar medikla, like on a peg that's coming out of the dekel of the tree. The hisalik, and when you climb up that ladder, lo linach kare agavaze. Don't, when you're climbing up the ladder, don't put your foot on the peg itself, because the peg itself has a din of stadin. Ela litnach akanin. Put it on the rung of the ladder itself. Which is when you're climbing up, make sure your feet are on the rung of the ladder and not up against the peg against the tree, because then you would have the same problem that you're being mishtamesh bitstadin. Now she says, Ela linqiye agavaze lebar medikla. Yitaka yated. Place a yated, a peg bitsidei ailan, the yismoch hasulam alav, and lean the ladder against it. Davile yated stadim, the sulam sedet stadim. Right, the peg is stadim and the ladder is sedet stadim. V'chisalik lo linach kare'a leyated. When you climb up, don't put your foot on the peg. El akanya al shenivat sulam, on the rung of the ladder. O kanima yotzim meha kundisin. Or let's say there's some pegs coming out of the ladder on the side of it. You can put your feet on those also, but not on the tree or the peg coming out of it, the tree itself. Now we start the new Mishnah. Matirin piki ayami lifnei behema. The Mishnah says it is permissible to untie bundles of straw on Shabbat in front of the animals. Umefaspesin et kipin. The Gemara will explain to us what kipin is, but it says you can mefaspes. Mefaspes means you are able to scatter it in front of the animals. It seems when they're in bundles, or when they're all close to each other, as she says, the animal doesn't eat it because it doesn't emit an aroma. But when you scatter it around, the smell of it comes out. The smell of it comes out, and the animal is able to eat it and has an appetite for it. So therefore, mefaspesin et hakipin. Aval lo et hazirin. Or according to some texts, it is ziradin. We will explain in the Gemara ziradin. According to one opinion, is pieces of moist cedar wood that is also can be used for animal food. In Mishnah continues, in Rasikin, you're not allowed to shred lo et ha-shahat ve lo et ha-harovin. Not shahat, which would be animal fodder, which is like the Gemara calls it aspasta, which is like small grass, ve'lo et ha-harovin, and not the carib, lifnei behema, in front of the animal, ben daka u ben gasa, whether it is a small animal with small teeth or a big animal. The Yehuda matir b'harovin daka. The Yehuda allows to shred harubin in front of a behema daka, in front of the small animal. Now the Gemara is going to explain. Basically, we're going to have two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is going to be Rav Huna, and the other Rav Yehuda, in the way they interpret the Mishnah. Amar Rav Huna, hen piki'in, hen kipin. The word piki'in and the word kipin, they're synonymous. It both means straw. So what's the difference between them? Piki'in tereh, piki'in has two knots in the bundle. Kipin tlata, and kipin you just knot it a third time. And the Gemara says, ziradin, and what is ziradin of the Mishnah? The arzeh. That's talking about the pieces of moist cedar. Now that we have the interpretation of what they are, let's now learn the dinim. The hachi kaman, this is what the Mishnah means. Matirin piki ayami lifnei behema umifaspesin. It is permissible on Shabbat to untie the bundles of straw in front of the animal. And for that matter, it is also permissible to scatter them in front of the animal. Vehu hadin the kipin. And for that matter, it's also permissible to untie the kipin, which means you're untying the three knots. Aval lo et hazirin. But when it comes to the cedar woods, lo lefaspes, you cannot scatter it to the animals. Ve lo lehatir, nor can you untied the bundles. Now the Gemara is going to explain the logic of Rav Huna. Amar Rav Chasda Maita Amad Rav Huna. What's the logic of Rav Huna? Kasabar Yoz Limitrah Beuchla Tarhinan Nishivuye Uchla Lo Mashvinan. It is permissible on Shabbat to toil in something that's food already, but to make something, to convert it into a food on Shabbat, that is asur. So there's a difference between the shivuye uchla, that means to make it into food, or litrah be'uchla, or to toil in something that is food already. Now let's interpret it into the Mishnah. Straw already is considered edible for the animal. So you're not converting it into food, it's designated for the animal going into Shabbat. Therefore you can untie it, and for that matter you can also scatter it in front of the animal. True, you're toiling, it's exertion, but it's exertion in something that's considered food already, as opposed to the cedar woods. Cedar wood is usually designated what? For fuel. And therefore, going into Shabbat, this was designated for fuel, and now you want to untie it, feed it to the animal, you're converting it from fuel to ochel. That's called shivuye uchla. So therefore, you cannot do anything when it comes to the cedar. However, when it comes to the straw, you could be matir as well as mefaspes. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Gemara continues, Rav Yehuda Amar, hen, piki'in, hen, zirin. He says, no, the synonyms in the Mishnah are piki'in and zirin. Both those are straw. Piki'in, today again, piki'in has two knots in the bundle, zirin, tlata. And the zirin, which is also straw, has three knots. Kipin, but the word kipin in the Mishnah, de'arze, that is the cedar. V'hachi kamar, and according to the view that this is the dinim of the Mishnah. Matirin piki'e amir lifne behema. It is permissible to untie the bundles of straw in front of the animal. Aval pispuselo, but you're not allowed to scatter them. V'chipin, when it comes to kipin, you're also allowed to even scatter them. But when it comes to zirin, which is also straw, it has the same deen as pikirin. You cannot scatter them. You can only untie them. Now let's understand the logic of Rav Yehuda. What is the logic of Rav Yehuda? Kasabar shivuye uchla mashvinan mitrah beuchla lo tarhinan. He holds the opposite of Rav Huna. He says on Shabbat is permissible the shivuye uchla. To make something, converting it into food is permissible. You can exert yourself to make something into food. Therefore, it would be permissible to take the bundles of cedar, which are not designated for food, untie them and actually scatter them out to make them into food. Shivuye uchla is mutar. However, tirhabi uchla, to toil in something that's food already, is asur. That's why you cannot be mifaspes. You're not allowed to scatter around the straw, because the straw already is considered food already. Now, he lets you untie it. Now, untying it, why would he allow you to untie it? So, if you're going to tell me that the reason why he allows you to untie it is because it's considered making it into food, so then we have a problem according to Rav Huna. Because according to Rav Huna, he also lets you untie food, but he held that shivuye uchla is asur. So therefore, Tosfot explains that untying doesn't do anything. Untying it really is just a prerequisite, and it's not even considered a tidha. So that everybody would let you untie the bundles of straw. That's the bottom Tosfot. In any event, let's review now the shitot. According to Rav Huna, mitrah be'uchla tarhinan, shivuye uchla lo tarhinan. Whereas Rav Yehuda says, shivuye uchla tarhinan, mitrah be'uchla lo tarhinan. Comes the Gemara says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, en merasikin et ha-shachat ve'et ha-harubin. We're not allowed to shred the shachat, which is the fodder, and the harubin, the caribs, the fnei behema, in front of the animal. Ben daka uben gasa, whether it's a small animal or whether it's a large animal. Now, my love harubin dumiyad shahat. If the fact that the Mishnah is putting harubin and shahat together, must be they're similar. So the Gemara says, ma shahat didekiche, just like the shahat is talking about where it's soft, af harubin didekiche, so too harubin must be talking about where it is soft. Point being, they must be already edible, because if they're soft, they must be edible for the animals. And what is the Mishnah saying? that you're not allowed to shred these items, even though they're already food. Alma lo tarhinan be'ukhla. Must be you're not allowed to exert yourself in ochel. This is a question on Ravuna. Amar lecha Ravuna lo. Shachat dumya de harubin. I'll tell you the shachat, the fodder is similar to the carob. Ma harubin de akushe. Just like the harubim is talking about where it is hard, meaning it is tough and it's not edible. Afshachat de akushe. And therefore, the reason why it's asur, because you're making it into food. Now, who cannot eat this shahat that is hard? So the Gemara says, when you have small hamorim, they're unable to eat even this type of shahat. So therefore, the Mishnah says, the reason why you can't shred it is because it's making it into food. Why? Because it's talking about it is hard. Gemara continues, Tashema. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charubin ledaka. Said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda was matiri, allowed to shred the carib for the behemad daka. So the Gemara makes a diuk ledaka in. Yes, for a small animal, let you shred it. Ligasa lo, but for a large animal, no. Now the Gemara analyzes. E amar bishlama. If you're going to say tanakama sabar mitrach beuchla lo tarhinan shivuye mashvinan, if you're going to say that tanakama holds that you're allowed to mishve uchla biyom tov, meaning you're on Shabbat, you're allowed to make ochel on yom tov and todayach for it and toil with it. However, you're not allowed to toil in something that's food already. Hainu deka amar of Yehuda. Now we can understand what Rabbi Yehuda said. Ha harubin ledaka name shivuye uchlahu, which means like this. If you're going to learn Tanakama's opinion is where he said it is forbidden to shred harubin, whether it's for a daka or whether it's for a gasa. Why? Because he holds that it's talking about it's soft. And if it's soft already, it's already considered food. And therefore he holds mitrach be'ukhla asur. And therefore he's going to say you can't shred it already because it's mitrach be'ukhla. To that, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says no. Even soft carib would be permissible to shred for behemad daka. Why? Because for a behemad daka, it's considered shivuye ochla, making it food, and making food shivuye ochla would be permissible. So we understand the machlok, which is that we now heard from Tanakama that shivuye ochla is mutar, but tirha zasur, tirha beuchla zasur, therefore he was osir. Harubin, because it's tirha beuchla, and he said, no, it's not tirha beuchla, by a behemad daka, it's shivuye ochla, therefore it should be mutar. So the machloket is understood. But if you hold that Tanakama holds shivuye ochla lo mashvina, that you're not allowed to make the food, but you're allowed to toil in some of that food already, Rabbi Yehuda matir b'charubin ledaka kol sheken degasa, which means like this. If you're going to learn the Mishnah, meaning was talking about where it is hard. And therefore, carob was hard. Tanakama was saying what? You're not allowed to shred it because that's going to be considered what? Shivuye ochla. And making it into food is asur. So what is Rabbi Yehuda coming along to say? Rabbi Yehuda must be coming along to say, no, it would be permissible to shred it for the daka because it's edible already. It's considered mitrach be'ochla. It's not shivuye ochla. So if he's matiring it for the daka, koshekin, it should be permissible for the gasa. Meaning, if it's food for the daka, or the most, it's food for the gasa. So why did the Buddha only say the Buddha matir be daka? Koshekin be gasa, or the most, it should be matir for the gasa. So the Gemara says koshekin the gasa. So Gemara says misa bat daka daka mamash. What did you think when it says in the Mishnah the Buddha was matir be daka? He meant actually a behemad daka with the small teeth. My daka gasa. When it says behema daka, it actually means behema gasa. Why would it call it that? Umay kari le daka. Why does it call it a daka? The daika beuchla, because it chews its food very well. The behema gasa has big teeth, and it was able to chew its food very well. And therefore, that's what everybody was coming up to say. It's really considered ochel, and therefore, even for a gasa, you'd be able to shred it up, and there's no problem, which means it's tirha be'ukhla. So the Gemara says, no, can't be. Ha midiktani reshav, the fact that it says in the reshav, the Mishnah, ben daka u ben gasa, the Mishnah does differentiate in the words between a daka and a gasa, mechlad Rabbi Yehuda daka daka mamash kamar. So when Rabbi Yehuda says the word daka, he means daka, because the Mishnah is calling a daka and calling a gasa. You can't come and tell me now when he said daka, he meant gasa. Oh, so if he meant daka, so we're back to the question, meaning, if you're going to tell me that Tanakama holds like Rav Huna, that what? That Shivuye Ukhla is Asur, and Tirha Bi Ukhla is Mutar, and therefore what was he saying? That we're talking about over here where the carob is hard. And therefore Tanakama was saying, well, you can't shred it, because why? It's considered Shivuye Ukhla. And to that, Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, no, I'm Matir the Harubin for Daka, because it's Tirha Bi Ukhla. If it's Tirha Bi Ukhla for a Daka, Kol Sheken for a Gasa. So that side doesn't make sense in Rabbi Yehuda's deen. So the Gemara says, Kasha, you're right, that really remains in a Kasha. Tashema, mehatechin et adilu'in lifnei habehema v'et hanebela lifnei hakelabim. The statement says, you're allowed to cut on Shabbat the dilu'in, the gourd, in front of the animals. Obviously, we're talking about where they were already talush from the ground, me'arib Shabbat, because otherwise you have a problem of, you know, taking them out of the ground. Now, they're not mukseh, because we're holding with the opinion that says even though they're fit for human consumption, however, you can still feed them to your animals, and if you can cut them up, furthermore, an animal that died, let's say now it became a nevela, it's not fit for human consumption, but it's fit for the animals, so you can cut it up and give it to the dogs. Now, my lab dilu'in dum yad nevela, from the fact that they put those two together, must be they're similar, meaning the gourd is similar to the carcass of meat. Ma nevela dirkicha, just like the nevela is talking about where it's soft, af dilu'in dirkicha. So too, the dilu'in, the gourd we're talking about is soft. Alma, what do we apply from there? Tarhinan bi'ukla. Right? You're allowed to toil in food. This was food already, because it's soft, it's edible. Tiyufta de Rav Yehuda. This is a question of Yehuda that says that tirha bi'ukla lo tarhinan. Amalecha Rav Yehuda lo. Nevela dumya de dilu'in. I'll tell you the opposite. The nevela is similar to the gourd. Ma dilu'in de ashune. Just like the gourd is somewhere where it's hard. Af nevela d'ashura. So to the nevela is talking about where it is hard. Ve'echi mashkahata. Where do you find a nevela that's hard? Gemara gives two answers. Bebasar pile. Either the meat of a elephant, which is tough meat, or we could say it's regular meat. Iname beguriyata zutre. It's talking about a small dog. Meaning it's feeding the dogs. To a small dog, even soft meat is considered hard. And therefore, the reason why you can cut it up, because it's considered shivuye ukhla. By cutting it up, you're making it edible for the dog, and therefore it can be going like Rav Yehuda. Tashema, detani Rav Hanan min Havdia, mefarchinan tevin v'aspasta. It is permissible on Shabbat to crumble tevin, would be like straw. The aspasta is like the fodder. Umarbin. The animal doesn't eat the straw sometimes alone, so they would mix it with the animal fodder in order to get the animal to eat it. So it says you can crumble it up on Shabbat and to make the mixture so the animal will eat it. Alma implying tarhinan bi'ukhla. Again, these items are edible already, and still you can crush them up and mix them. That's going like tarhinan bi'ukhla. Question on Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda will answer, no. Teben betibnasaria. The teben that we're talking about over here was really spoiled teben. Not totally spoiled, because otherwise it would be mukseh. But it's spoiled enough that the animal's not going to eat it in that way. It's only going to eat it if you crush it up and mix it in the aspasta. And therefore it's considered shivuye ukhla. Aspasta, da'ile zutre. And aspasta is talking about, even though it's soft, but like we said, these small donkeys cannot eat it alone, and therefore you crush it up, and therefore it makes it edible. So therefore even though aspasta is considered shivuye ukhla, therefore there's no question according to Rav Yehuda. And then we go to the next Mishnah, in ofsin et gamal. It is forbidden on Shabbat to be oves a gamal. The Gemara is going to explain that means taking food and stuffing it down the animal's throat, and we're talking about a large quantity of food. The Gemara will tell us the root of the word obscene. Velo dorsin. Dorsin also is to take food and stuff it down the throat of the animal. It's just not as much as obscene. Just the difference between obscene and dursin is quantitatively. That's the way Rashi tells us. Rashi says, "Velo dursin in the Mishnah shedores la betok gerona." Now you take the fist and you stick it down the animal's throat. Et aserunu mihulo avi kol kach kemo obscene. Just not as much as obscene. Aval mal'itin. It is permissible to be mal'it. We will wait to the Gemara to explain the word mal'it. Ve'en ma'amirin et agalim. It is forbidden to be ma'amir agalim. We will see what hamra is in the Gemara. Agalim is calves. Abal mal'itin. Again, but it is permissible to be mal'item. U'mehalketin le'tarnegolim. It is permissible to be mehalket tarnegolim. That's chickens. We will wait for the Gemara to explain the word mehalket. Ve'notin ma'im le'musan. It is permissible to pour water into bran. Abal lo goblin. But you're not allowed to knead it into a dough. Ve'en notnim ma'im lifnei ha'deborim. You're not allowed to place water in front of the bees on Shabbat. Ve'lifnei yonim shebeshubach, or the doves that are in the nest or the cote. Aval notnim lifnei avazim. You can place water in front of geese. Ve'tanugolim and chickens. Ve'lifnei yonei hadarsiot, and types of doves that are called yonei hadarsiot. That she explains the reason why you cannot place water in front of bees, either because it's not your responsibility to feed them, or because that they can find water on their own, because there's plenty of water found in the swamps, and therefore it's considered a tirha for you to go out of your way to feed them. However, the other items are domesticated animals, like the chickens and these yonei hadarsiot, where it's your responsibility to feed them, and therefore you must and you can put water in front of them. Now the Gemara is going to explain the beginning of our Mishnah. May en obscene. What does it mean in the Mishnah that it says you cannot be oves an animal? Amar Rav Yehuda, en osin la evus betoch me'eha. We're not allowed to make a trough in its stomach, meaning that you're putting so much food, stuffing it down its throat, it's like you're sticking a trough of food down its stomach. So obscene comes from the word an evus, which is a trough. So the Gemara says, "Mi'ika ki haygamna." Is it possible to stuff an animal that much, like you're stuffing a trough full of food down its throat? Gemara says, "In uchte amar of Yirmiyah midifti ledidi haziri." Said, "I once saw a utaya, a certain Arab, de achla kura. He fed a kur's worth of food to his animal. A kur is 30 se'ah, each se'ah is 144 betzim, which is a great amount of food. Ve'atayne kura. And as a result of him eating so much, the animal became strong. He was able to withstand a load of a kura on its back. En ma'amirin. The Mishnah said that it is forbidden to be ma'amir the agalim, the calves on Shabbat. Ezuhi hamra'a. What is hamra'a that's asur? The ezuhi hal'ata that is mutar. We want to know the difference between hamra'a and hal'ata. So we have two explanations to this. Amar Rav Yehuda, hamra'a limkom shenei yechola la'azir. Hamra'a means where you stick the food so deep down the animal's throat that he cannot spit it back up. That's going to be asur because it's considered too much of a tirha. Hal'ata, l'makom shechola la'azir. When hal'ata is, you're sticking it down not so deep, meaning the animal can still spit it back up. Rav Chisda amar, idi v'idi l'makom shechola la'azir. He says, no, both, you're sticking the food deep down. So what's the difference? Hamra'a b'chli. Hamra'a is doing with a vessel. For example, you take a spoon and you fill it up with food and you shove it down the animal's throat. Hal'ata b'yad. And hal'ata is just with the yad, with the hand. Mativ Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef comes along now and asks a question. We said in the Mishnah, mehalketin letarnegolim. It is permissible to be mehalket the chickens. Ben sarich lomar shemalkitin. And it goes without saying that it would be permissible to be malkit. Ve'en malkitin yonei shovach u'yonei aliyah. But you cannot be malkit the doves in the coat or the doves in the attic. Ve'en sarich lomar she'en malkitin. And all the more so, you cannot be malkit. Now let's get terminologies. Mai malkitin u'mai malkitin. What are these terminologies? Ilema, if you're going to say malkitin disafir lebiyadayim, that malkitin means where you're putting the food in the animal's mouth, and malkitin deshadid kamayu, and malkitin just means that you're putting the food in front of it, you're just dropping the food in front of it. Mechlal, the yoneh shovach, the yoneh aliyah. you're going to tell me that when it comes to these doves, Mishda, Kamayu, Namela, you're telling me, it said in the statement that why you cannot even be Malkit, meaning you cannot even put food in front of them. Is that possible? Which means, why shouldn't you be permissible just to drop food? Everybody should agree, that's not considered a tirha. That's like a certain exertion to put some food in front, so therefore your interpretation of mehalket to mean putting it in the animal's mouth. And malket, just to put the food in front, cannot be true. Because it said you cannot be malkit the yonim. Why should that be asud? Oh, so therefore what must it mean? Ela la must be mehalketin lemakom she'ena yechola la'azir. Malket must mean what? You're sticking it down the chicken's throat deep enough that he cannot spit it back up. Malkitin, what does malkitin mean? Limkom she'chola la'azir. Oh, that's talking about where you stick it down the throat, but not deep enough. I mean, he can still spit out. That's the way we're explaining Melketin. Michlal, implying the Hamra'a Bichli, must be that Hamra'a is worse, because we said in our Mishnah, U'mehalketin letanegolim, it is permissible to be Mehalket. Now, if you're explaining Mehalket to mean you stick the food all the way down the chicken's throat, meaning where he cannot even spit it up, and it's still permissible, so then why is Hamra'a asur by an animal? Must be Hamra'a something else. What must be Hamra'a? Where you're doing it with a?
Keli.
That's why it's going to be asur. V'tiyuftad Rav Yehuda. And that's going to be a question on Rav Yehuda. Because Rav Yehuda, he learned that Hamla'a is talking about where you're just sticking with your hand down its throat. Why should it be asur by an egel, by an egel, it's asur, and by a chicken, mutar? So it says, Amar lecha Rav Yehuda, le'olam me'alketin de'safer le'biyadayim, malketin de'shadeh le'kamayu. I'm going to go back. Rav Yehuda says, me'alketin really means you're sticking in the animal's mouth. And Malkitimi just sticking it in front of the animal. You're placing it in front. Udekakashalach, he had a question. Yone shovach, yone aliyah, lemishda kamayu nameh, lo. Right? How could you tell me that it's asur to place the food just in front of these types of doves? That's not considered a tircha. Gemara's answers, hane mizunotan alecha. Behane en mizunotan alecha. It makes a difference if they're on you to feed them or not. These doves, they're not domesticated. They live in the fields, and therefore it's not your responsibility to feed them. Therefore, even putting food in front of them is going to be considered a tircha. And therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, he's coming along to say like this, when it comes to the chickens you have to feed. So you could put the food in their mouth all the more, so it would be permissible to put the food in front of them. However, when it comes to these non-domesticated doves, so therefore you're not going to even be allowed to put the food in front of them. But that's got nothing to do with the agalim. When it comes to the agalim, hamra'a is going to be asur. What is hamra'a? Sticking the food down with your hand all the way deep down, enough where the animal cannot spit it out. That's going to be considered a tircha. But a chicken, we're just talking about you putting the food in its mouth. That would be permissible. Comes the Gemara, says, Kedetanya. We have a bright, and notnin mizonot nefne kedef. We're going to show you that there's certain animals that you are obligated, they're on you to feed, and others not. For example, it says you can put food in front of a dog. Ve'en notnin mizonot lefne hazir. But you cannot put food in front of a hazir, a swine, a pig. What's the difference between a dog that you can feed and a pig that you can't? The dog, it's upon you to feed them. It's your responsibility. However, the pig is not. Why, as she says? Because cursed is the Jew that raises pigs, and therefore certainly it's not a comment upon him. Amar Rav Asher, matnitin amidaka. Rav Asher says our Mishnah is also precise on this point. That what? That you're not allowed to throw food in front of these yonim. Meaning, if it's not domesticated, you cannot even throw food in front of them. How do we see that? It says, "En notin ma'im lefne devorim lefne yonim shebeshobach." You're not allowed to put water in front of the devorim, the bees, and the yonim, the doves, shebeshobach, in the dovecote. Aval notin lefne avazim, but you can't give the geese
v'lifnei tarnegolim, and in front of the chickens, v'lifnei yodei hadarsiyot. My tama, what's the difference? Why some you can and some you can't put food? Lab mishum dehani mizotan alecha, v'hani e mizotan alecha. There must be the differences that the doves, they're not incumbent upon you to feed them because they're not domesticated, therefore you cannot put water in front of them. Mashiachim, the chickens and the other things, the other types of doves, the domesticated ones, they're incumbent upon you, therefore you can feed them. So you see what? From the Mishnah, there's a difference between Mizunotan Alecha and not Mizunotan Alecha. The Gemara says, wait, V'letamech ma'idiyah mayah. Why did the Mishnah only choose a case of putting water? Afilu chitev v'sa'areh namelo. Meaning, you told me you can't put water in front of the bees. Why did you only pick that case over there? You should have said not only water, for that matter, you can't put anything, even wheat and barley. Again, if you're telling me it's en mizunotan alecha, so why would the Mishnah only choose water? For that matter, anything is forbidden. Oh, from the fact that it chose water, must be, it's a different logic over here. Ela shani mayad ishkhi ba'agma. Must be really what? That it chose water because really even though I'll tell you they're, let's say, not domesticated, you can feed them wheat and you can feed them barley. Oh, so why can't you give them water? Because water is accessible for them. Water they'll find on themselves. So that we have no proof for them, you definitely not Mishnah. I can tell you really it's not the issue emizunotan alecha or kemizunotan alecha. I can really tell you they can even give animals, any animal food, a bee, an undomesticated dove, give them hitim, give them se'orim. Oh, so then why Mayim? It said no. Mayim is different because Mayim they can fend for themselves. Stuff they get on their own, that's another story. But according to the Biuda, that's not his issue. He holds that these devorim are not coming upon you. They're in the fields. Let them go get everything on their own. So therefore, you cannot bring a proof of the Mishnah according to the Biuda. Darash Rabbi Yona afitha de benisia. Rabbi Yona made a derasha on the gate of the benisia of the president. My dichtiv, what does it say in the pasuk? Yodeya tzaddik din dalim. God, the tzaddik knows the anguish of the poor people. Yodeya hakadosh baruchu bekelev. These poor people are not people, they're actually dogs. God knows the pain of the dog. That what? Shemizunotav mu'atim. He has little food. Lefichach shohe achilato b'me'ab gimel yamim. Therefore God makes it that his food is digested very slowly. The food sits in the dog's stomach for 3 days in order to keep him satiated. So if it's kidetnan, like we have a Mishnah. Kama tesheh achilato b'me'av. How long does the animal, does the dog have to have the food in his... Well actually, we're talking about a case over here where an animal swallows human flesh. Now the law is that as long as the animal is alive, even though he has human flesh in him, now human flesh can be metameh. If let's say that human flesh is in an oil, so now it can metameh everybody that's in the oil. However, now it's in the animal's stomach. As long as the animal's alive, it does not have the ability to metameh. But once the animal dies, if the flesh of the human being that's in his stomach is not digested yet, it has a deen that it can be metameh in an oil. So the Gemara wants to know, how long is the flesh considered flesh? Which is, when does digestion take place, that after the animal dies, we're going to say that's not considered flesh anymore in his stomach, it's considered just digested food. So the Gemara says, Kama tesheh achilato b'me'av yetameh. How long could the food, meaning the flesh of a human being that the animal ingested, how long could it be in his stomach and to be considered still tameh? So the Mishnah says, for it comes to a dog, 3 days from time to time, meaning 3 24-hour intervals from the moment that he ingested it. So you see what? That the food of the dog takes 3 days to digest. However, when it comes to ofot and nagin, that would be, let's say, birds and fish, it's very quick. The amount of time that it would take if you took that flesh and dropped it into a fire, how long would it take to burn? It's immediate. That's the amount of time that it digests in the stomachs of these types of animals. Now we can learn from these statements. It is the derech eretz, it is the proper thing. It is proper to throw a piece of meat to the dogs. You see over here, we're learning over here how the dogs have little food and God is merciful on them, so therefore we have to take the lead from God and therefore feed a dog. Vekama, how much did you feed him? Amar Rav Mori, meshach udne, feed him the size of his ear. Meaning give him a piece of meat, the size of the dog, of the ear of the dog. Vechutra batre, followed by a beating by a stick. Logic being, you don't want the dog to come back. So therefore the Gemara says, Hani mili bedabra. That's only talking about a non-domesticated dog, meaning it's in the field. You don't want it to keep on coming back. About the matab, but a dog in the city? No, don't feed him at all. That tell him islach, because he's going to feed him, he's going to keep on coming back, he's local. And therefore, that she says, don't give him anything, unless it's your dog. If it's your dog, then already, it's your obligation to feed him. About a papa, let the anya mekalba. There's nobody more poverty stricken than the dog. There's nobody as rich as the pig. Logic being, the pig can eat anything. And therefore he eats the garbage. Therefore his food is very, very accessible. It's all over the place. And there's nobody rich like a pig. But there's nobody poor like a dog, which is his food is hard to come by. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya Kerata to Rabbi Yehuda. We now have a proof to Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda said, what is Hamra'a? We're going back. Hamra'a is sticking the hand down the animal deep enough where the animal cannot spit it out. So the Gemara's river bright to support this. Ezuhi Hamra'a. The Ezuhi Hal'ata. What is Hamra'a that is Asur? And Hal'ata that is permissible. Hamra'a Marbitza. First you put the animal on its knees, so it's in a sitting position. Ufokeset pia, and you open its mouth, and it says you actually put a hook there in order to keep the mouth wide open. Umachila karshinim umayim bebatahat, and you stuff its mouth with karshinim, the way they explain is vetch, turned out the animal food, and water together in one shot. Rashi tells us that by putting the water with the karshinim, the animal cannot spit it out. It forces it to swallow. Halata. What is halata? Machila me'omid. You feed the animal while it is standing. Umashke me'omid. You give it to drink while it is standing. Venotim karshinim bifnei atzman. You give the vetch separately. Umayim bifnei atzman. Rashi says, once the animal is standing, it's very hard to get the food all the way deep down to a spot that it's not going to be able to spit it back up again. Which means, to a spot where it's going to automatically swallow it. It's standing. And therefore, you see there's a difference between halata and hamra'a. Hamra'a is when he's in the sitting position where you can really get your fist down his throat in order to get the food down there where it's going to stay. Where halata, the animal standing, Rashi's lashon is noten letoch pia bechozman sheno marbitza. As long as it's not on its knees, eno yachol letchof kol kach viyachol lahazira. Baruch Adonai Olam, amen v'amen.